This special program was brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
Few things are as delicious and magical as cheese. With an endless amount of varieties, uses, and taste profiles, cheese can be anything at any time. We know cheese is made from milk, but how exactly does that happen? What's the science behind cheese? Lucky for you, leading food science expert and best-selling author Harold McGee is here to explain exactly how milk becomes cheese. First, he explains the origins of the word cheese.
The English word cheese can be found in Old English and comes originally from the Latin word caseus, C-A-S-E-U-S, which also meant cheese. Where that word came from is an etymological mystery. It's not clear whether it comes from a root meaning maybe sour, or it may mean just a particular notable thing. Not very useful origins. In the case of the French word fromage, or the Italian formaggio, they come from another Latin word, forma, which meant a mold. That is to say, something that you put the cheese in order to get a particular shape. So those are words that mean essentially a shaped version of milk rather than a formless version of milk.
Now that we have that out of the way, let's get down to business. What is milk, and how does milk become cheese?
It's good to know what milk is to begin with. So it's a fluid produced by mammals to nourish their newborns until the point that the newborns are no longer new and they can begin to eat regular food. So it's essentially a concentrated set of nutrients for those newborns. And in the case of cow's milk and sheep's milk and goat's milk, the milks from which most cheeses are made, the milk contains about 5% lactose, which is a sugar carbohydrate, and about 4% fat and about 4% protein. Those are all, you know, basic, really basic ingredients for the building of a new creature, along with vitamins and minerals and various other things that are good for the development of the young. But the most important ones for cheese making are the macronutrients, lactose, fat, and proteins. And basically what happens in cheese making is you take this liquid, which is 87 or so percent water, and turn it into a moist solid that is more like 50% water to begin with. And the way that happens is that the cheesemaker adds to the milk a couple of things, usually a mixture of bacteria, which comes in the form of what's called a starter, which may just be a batch of milk that's been allowed to sit around for a while. So a starter containing bacteria, and then an enzyme, which is found originally in the stomachs of young milk-fed creatures called rennet. And that enzyme is there in the stomachs of mammals basically to begin the digestion of the milk proteins. What the cheesemaker does with that enzyme, though, is actually to cause the proteins in the milk to coagulate. That is, to bond to each other into a solid, which then can have the liquid squeezed out of it, much the way that water is squeezed out of a sponge. So you start with this milk that is liquid with protein floating around in it. You acidify that liquid a little bit with the addition of the starter bacteria, which begin to sour the milk. And then you add this enzyme, and the enzyme causes the casein proteins, particular set of proteins, to bond to each other, to coagulate, to form a solid. And then from that solid, you can squeeze out the water and turn it into a dense material that you can then manipulate in various ways to get different sorts of flavors and textures. Once the proteins are coagulated and the excess water has been squeezed out, and you now have this set of fresh curds, that have been created by the action of the acidifying microbes and the enzyme rennet. The cheesemaker can then do a variety of different things and end up with very different sorts of results. In fact, you can eat the cheese in that form. That's, you add a little bit of salt, and that's already something delicious. It's a fresh cheese, slightly tart, and with the fresh aroma of milk, and it's great stuff. But you can also treat those solid curds in a variety of ways and for varying lengths of time so that the cheese will actually develop its qualities over the course of weeks to months and, in some cases, years. And, of course, that was probably the original point of making cheese, was to turn something very fragile and spoilable, that is to say, fresh milk, into something that you can keep around for months or weeks or years and have the advantage of that over a much longer time. So there are several different things involved in making matured cheeses or aged cheeses. The first one is adding salt, either by just sprinkling salt on the outside of the cheese or letting it soak in a brine solution for a while. And the salt helps control which microbes can then grow in and on the cheese. The salt, together with the acidity that was developed in the early part of the cheese making, acts as a kind of microbial filter and lets some microbes grow and others not so much. And what you want to do is exactly that. Don't allow spoilage microbes or disease microbes to grow, but do allow microbes that can generate flavor and delicious textures to grow. So you salt the cheese in one way or another, and then you can treat it in various ways. You can just let it sit in a cave, that is to say, a cool, dark, quiet place where microbes can begin to grow on the outside of the cheese, and you can end up with a layer of microbial growth on the outside of the cheese that will slowly affect not only the outside of the cheese, but the inside as well, because the enzymes generated by those microbes will have effects on the surface that will then penetrate into the cheese itself and cause various changes, both in flavor and in texture. So that's one thing you can do, is just let things grow on the outside. You can also inoculate the cheese during the cheese-making process with other microbes that will then take over and begin to act during the ripening process. So, for example, that's how blue cheeses are made. You add some penicillium mold to the cheese as it's being made so that the mold spores are spread throughout the cheese when you're finished making it. And then you poke holes in the cheese, and molds require oxygen to grow. So those holes that you poke through the cheese then allow the mold to grow in what end up in what we call the veins of the cheese, where the hole has been poked. The mold spores begin to grow and to create enzymes that break down fats and proteins and generate flavor and turn the kind of crumbly cheese texture into something creamy, and you end up with changes happening within the cheese itself. And then there are cheeses that, if they're kept long enough, become transformed throughout their interior, simply because the enzymes from the starter bacteria and any other bacteria that might have gotten involved along the way have time to change the basic fabric of the cheese, the proteins and the fats in particular, to generate flavors and to soften the cheese texture.
Cheese is made from milk, but different milk makes different cheese. What does this mean? Harold McGee breaks it down.
The basic material of cheese is milk, and milk isn't necessarily what it used to be decades or centuries ago, and that's an important thing to know when you're tasting cheese and choosing cheese. The basic and largest distinction is between raw milk cheeses and cheeses made with pasteurized milk rather than raw milk. And essentially, pasteurization is a process that was developed in the late 19th century, became more common after the Second World War, and it's a way of controlling what bacteria survive in milk. Milk is a very nourishing liquid, and bacteria are found in it from the moment it leaves the cow's udder. And because it is very nourishing, disease-causing bacteria and other microbes can grow in that milk. And in the past, diseases caused by milk were a tremendous problem, especially in urban areas in Europe and the United States. So pasteurization is a way of killing most of the bacteria in the milk to prevent that kind of disease problem. But along with killing the disease bacteria, you kill all kinds of bacteria that are not harmful in the milk and that we've discovered in the last few decades are important for the flavor of cheeses if you're going to make cheese, because flavor in cheese essentially comes from the action of microbes and their enzymes on the proteins and the fats in the milk. That's how flavor and texture come about. And when you pasteurize milk, you essentially knock out all the help that you would get from the microbes that are found in milk naturally. And that's why raw milk cheeses generally have more flavor and have a more interesting texture than cheeses made from pasteurized milk. Milk is a really interesting and complex fluid. We're still learning about it all the time. There's a lot more going on in there than we've thought. And even its creation is complicated and mysterious. Basically, what happens is that the mammary gland of the cow takes nutrients from the blood, that is to say, sugars and fats and proteins, amino acids, and creates the components of milk and collects the components of milk in specialized cells in the mammary glands. And then those cells, once they've generated all these different components, secrete them into the udder, and on a particular hormonal signal, the cow then has a reflex that allows it to release that fluid to the teat, whether to the young calf or to the milking machine, which is, of course, how we collect it.
Thanks for listening to this special program on the science of milk and making cheese with Harold McGee. For more content along the same lines, visit our science and technology section at heritageradionetwork.org. We're a 501c3 nonprofit member-supported organization. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, iTunes, and Stitcher for more. The song used in this piece is Absent by Rayui Katuje. Thanks for listening.